There are a lot of people who are coming into this country under false pretenses. Sham or fake marriages seem to be arranged offshore and to facilitate people to come in as international students who are welcomed here by the boatload because, of course, it's good for business. Post-secondary education is big business after all. But to what extent? We'll find out now. Gidi Mamon has joined us on the line. He's an immigration lawyer with migrationlaw.com. Gidi, how are you this afternoon? Where's Gidi at?
Right here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Have you got any experience with this in all of your travels that these sham marriages are being set up offshore?
Well, look, it's the oldest trick in the book, finding your way into Canada through a marriage of convenience. But the vehicle here is a little bit different. It used to be that you would do a direct sponsorship, and you would get married to somebody, and the idea was that was purely for the purpose of immigration. But right now, the most popular program into Canada is the foreign student program. So if you can latch on to a student who either qualifies or has been accepted to a Canadian university, or a person who has a degree who would be probably selected for immigration, you hitch your wagon to them and you come in. And that's why we're seeing all these ads in India looking for spouses who have either a degree or a passing score in the language test that immigration requires.
All right, and when you use the term spouse, that's in quotations because, of course, these people are not really spouses except for convenience, as you said.
That's right. They are legal spouses, so the Immigration Department will see and will verify that there's a marriage certificate and that it was entered into legally, but, of course, you can't delve into the mind of a person. You have no idea of knowing why they're getting married, but obviously these ads that are being run give you a very good idea that it is purely for immigration purposes.
All right, so this prospective spouse then, be it male or female, but more often than not it's a female, it's to facilitate the groom or the guy being able to come from China or India into Canada because the female has the requisite whatever behind her name.
That's right. So what happens is, for example, in order to go to school here, you have to pass certain language tests. You have to be able to demonstrate that you can get through your program of study at the University of Toronto or Ryerson, wherever it is you might be going. So as soon as that person is selected to come to Canada, all of a sudden they become very attractive to other people who are foreigners. And they say, well, we now know that you're on a fast track for immigration to Canada. Because as soon as you graduate from your program of study, you'll be able to apply for permanent residence if you have a year of work experience. So since we allow spouses to foreign students to be accompanied by their spouses, that's what happens. They get married, and now that person is eligible to accompany the spouse to Canada, work, and when they apply for permanent residence, to be included in that application.
Right. And once they get the permanent residence, they can just ditch the person who they hived off of to get here.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's exactly right. And there, of course, they'll be eligible for, health benefits and all kinds of other social programs.
Well, is there a better way that we can either close this loophole, validate or certify the marriages as legitimate? Is there anything we can do to forestall this? Because it sounds to me like it's a colossal abuse.
It is an abuse. I should tell you, John, that I've been practicing immigration law for over 30 years, and if I were to practice another 30 years, I will continue to see what I've always seen, which is immigration abuse. There's no way to avoid it. We just don't know who is being honest and who isn't. We do the best we can, and there comes a point where it becomes impractical to try to enforce the laws even more. When couples come together to Canada with children and everything, you can assume that, generally speaking, that they're a genuine couple. But if you're a young couple, there are no children, it's a new relationship, we have no idea why they got married. And so we can look for a bulletproof solution, but I don't believe we will ever have one.
All right. Well, similar to sponsorships, though, isn't there something to putting up a bond or in some way if you default on that, you lose your money? So are we just to capitulate and say this is 'twas ever thus and it's going to continue to be this way?
Oh, absolutely not. A capitulation is not something that I'm recommending. I'm simply saying that the CBSA and the Immigration Department only have so many resources. Now, they can start looking for people who are a security threat to Canada, people who have criminal records. They can go and dig in as far as you can, but someone is going to have to pay for that. And this type of abuse, quite frankly, is on the lower end of the risk scale. If there's no criminality, there doesn't appear to be previous fraud, and the couple looks like they're married, they seem to be compatible, very rarely are you going to see immigration looking behind that. But now, because of these ads, you can bet that the consulates and the embassies are going to be looking at this a little bit more carefully. But even if they spend twice or three times as much time investigating these situations, you're still going to get people who get through.
All right. Well, I guess you can say, having been in the business all these years and counting, that Canada is seen as an easy mark internationally, isn't it?
Well, first of all, we provide a very, very attractive foreign student program because it leads to permanent residence, which is ultimately, the ultimate goal. But John, you have to understand that every other desirable country for immigration purposes has to deal with immigration fraud. The United States has to deal with it, Australia, New Zealand, the UK, all the countries around us have to deal with the same issue. People, as long as the grass is greener here, people will do whatever they have to do in order to scale the fence. That's what they're going to do. And if you make the fence higher, they'll go under it. And if you make it wider, they'll go around it. That's just the way it is. Now, I should say that typically these types of cases don't present us with criminal or security threats, but they certainly do undermine the integrity of our program. They make us look foolish. They attract more of the same nonsense. So if one person gets in, you can bet he's going to tell two friends, and they're going to tell two friends, and so on, until it becomes an epidemic and then immigration decides to do something about it.
But not at that phase just yet.
I don't think we're there yet, but I will tell you, India is a big place, and if you don't get this quickly, it's going to become an epidemic. Yeah,
I got you. All right, Giddy, always a pleasure to talk. Thanks for framing this in some kind of perspective for us here this afternoon.
My pleasure, John. Have
a
great day.
All the best. Giddy Mammon is an immigration lawyer. You can check him out at migrationlaw.com.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.